I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and today we're going to enjoy watching paint dry on this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 4, Episode 18-ish, maybe 19, I don't know off the top of my head, of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of the Army Showcase over at tabletopbattlefield.com. And today we're going to start and hope it finish if possible, but I don't know how long this is all going to take in episode-wise, and maybe two episodes. The massive building project that is an entire Lizardmen temple mount that's been ruined and defiled by the filthy Skaven. So we're going to be taking a look at a lot of different small projects and then putting them all together, kind of summarizing up some of the things we did over the past 3.5 years of this show and kind of showing you how you can do different variations on them. Because remember, for those who have actually either gone back to the archives or watched the show since the very beginning, you know, episode 2, I built a ruined Lizardmen temple. So we're going to take some of the ideas from that, mix in some ideas from water building. We're going to do a review of a new product I got sitting back here. Well, not new, but it's the first time I got to use it. It's Floracraft branded Make It Fun Project Bricks. There are lots that didn't kill your ears. That is the sound of probably about 250 bricks or so left in the box. They're relatively reasonably priced little styrofoam bricks you can use for building projects. And of course, you got a whole bunch of other little things we're all going to put together and show you how this thing is built. So in the first episode, we're going to start with the temple mound itself. Then we'll move on to the temples. So I'm going to stop talking now, so let's go ahead and let's get started building the ruined Lizardmen temple mound. To begin this project, we're going to start with a 24-inch by 18-inch by 1-inch thick piece of pink extruded polystyrene. It's the same kind of material we used last year, I believe it was episodes like 10 and 12, to build a battlefield out of. It's pretty typical stuff you can buy at most home improvement stores. It comes in a variety of thicknesses. I've chose 1-inch because that's what I've used a whole bunch in the past. I had a bunch left over, blah, blah, blah. So, to begin, what you're going to do is actually trace out kind of like the edges of a mesa, because this whole temple complex is going to be built on top of a little bit of a hill. So just kind of around the edge, let's just loosely draw out the shape of like an irregular hill. So I'm just taking a Sharpie marker here and drawing on the top of this thing approximately something that kind of looks like a funky looking shape or mesa. And next, we want to go and cut this out. You can either use, say, an extruded polystyrene hot wire foam cutter kind of a thing. If you want to be nice and neat. I'm probably just going to do it I'm probably just going to take the fast route, which is use some kind of saw, like maybe a band saw or a coping saw, or some kind of scroll saw, something like that, to cut out the sides. And also give the sides a little bit of a slanted edge to make it look like it's actually on top of a plateau. We'll cut this out and come back in just a minute and continue with the next step. Okay, the temple mount is all cut out. It's got some nice kind of sloped, rough edges. As you can see, it didn't quite follow the pattern I traced, but that's not critical. That whole pattern was just to get an approximate idea of how I want the layout to look. Next thing we're going to do is build an entrance ramp. We're going to make the entrance ramp kind of approximately front middle, what would be logical. So pretty much choose one of the long edges, the 24-inch edges, to be the front. At least that's how I'm going to do it. And what you want to do is draw a rectangle. It's probably about 2.25 inches wide. And let's stretch it in about, we'll say 8 inches in. So what's going to happen is this little 2.25 inch by 8 inch rectangle is going to become a slope that goes from the top of the plateau down to the bottom. So I'm going to designate somewhere over here to be the front middle-ish. We're going to start by drawing about a 2.25 inch long line. We'll go, it's about 2.25, right? Yeah, that's about 2.25 right there. Let's draw up about, yeah, we're going about 8 inches. Ooh, actually, that's actually kind of far. Let's change it to about 6 inches. So 2.25 inches by 6 inches long for the entrance ramp. Now along the 6-inch line you just drew, we're going to keep marking off 2.25 inch marks away from it so we can get a parallel line about 2.25 inches away. Let's finish the line up. We'll go in also about 6 inches. We'll just kind of mark it off. So you can see if I hold it up here now, we've got 2 1/4 inches wide by about 6 inches in. It's really a squeaky board. The end idea is going to be that this top of the rectangle here that's about 6 inches from the edge is going to be at the same height as the rest of the extruded polystyrene, and the edge down here at the bottom is going to be about ground level with the rest of the table, obviously generating a bit of a ramp going up. Probably to cut this out, it's going to be a bit of an experiment. I'm going to use probably a combination of the saws to go and kind of cut a diagonal slice through either side, and then I'll probably just kind of either sand it out or carve it out. I don't know, I'll figure it out. So we'll see what happens.
To cut out the ramp, I used a combination of tools. First, using a cross-cut saw, I cut 4 lines into the ramp such that the depth of the cuts followed the slope of the ramp. The cut was the shallowest at the top of the ramp, and it completely cut through the extruded polystyrene at the bottom. Next, with a box cutter, I cut lines across the width of the ramp around 3/4 of an inch apart. The depth of these cuts matched the slope of the ramp as well. The cuts at the top of the ramp were shallower than the cuts at the bottom of the ramp, and then next I used a screwdriver to break apart the cut pieces of the ramp such that the ramp now had a rough slant to it. Finally, I used a file to smooth out the ramp.
When we turn the full base this way, you can see the completed ramp. What you're going to notice, since this is a destroyed Lizardman temple, there's a few little kind of pot marks in the ramp. I'm not going to worry too much about that, because like I said, it's probably from damage or ruin when it's burned down or whatnot. Now the next step is actually to build the pathway that goes up the ramp and off of the two temples that are going to be sitting off over here somewhere. Before we can do that, we need to know where we're going to put our two temples. The footprint of each of the bases of the temple is going to be 8 inches by 8 inches. So take your little mesa thing you just built, set it off the side for right now, and get out some of the extra extruded polystyrene, which I left back there. I'll be back in a moment. So just using a yardstick, let's draw out 2 8-inch by 8-inch square blocks of extruded polystyrene. So like I said, these are going to become the footprints of the temple. Your goal here is to make these about as square as possible. But if they're off by a little bit, I wouldn't worry too much because we're going to make them look like they got beat up anyway. So now that I got them traced out, let's jump back over to the workshop and get them cut out. We've got 2 8-inch by 8-inch temple bases. I'm going to put them both down in different spots on the temple plateau, the idea being I'm trying to lay out where these two temple structures are going to go. So that way, once I know where the temple structures can go and where the spawning pools approximately are going to be, I can then basically lay out the network of pathways that connect the various things together. So first thing I'm going to do is once I decide where I want the two temples to go, I'm going to trace them out with a Sharpie marker. Now keep in mind, you want to probably leave about 3/4 to 1 inch of space between the edge of the temple and the edge of the mesa, just so you can put some walls there for a little added effect. So I'm going to set the two temple bases off the side. Now also using a Sharpie, let's kind of approximately lay out the shape and location of the 3 spawning pools we're going to have in this complex. We're going to put one over here. Nice, something like that. Let's put one in the back behind this temple here. And keep in mind also, same rule applies here. Keep them about 3/4 to 1 inch away from the walls of the mesa so you can have some, or from the edge of the mesa, so you can actually build some walls there. This one like that. That looks pretty good. Something like that. So, now let's trace out where the various paths are going to be. We know we have the main one kind of coming up here like this. It's going to continue up from the ramp. It's going to parallel the side of the temple. We're going to have at first break off here to go to that temple structure. And then also we'll make it keep coming along the back a little bit, skip a little bit, and then walk up to the spawning pool, and it'll end right there. So what I'm going to do is put little cross hatches to show where the temple pathways are going to be. There's that one, like that. So just poke it up, like that. So you can see it comes up the ramp here, taking this up off the spine and pulling off this temple. We're going to do a short one from this one temple here to the spawning pool in front. And keep in mind, all the pathways are going to end up being about 2.25 inches wide. And what we're going to do is actually build a bit of a patio over here that's going to come from this temple out to the spawning pool. So some might actually be a little bit wider. Next, we've got to build some templates that are going to be used for actually building the road itself. The next step to building the roads is to do this. Take some cardboard or other kind of thin poster board and draw a 1-inch by 1-inch grid of squares on it. So completely covered in squares that are 1-inch by 1-inch. Conveniently, I did mine on the back of a Lizardman Temple Guard box, but regardless, any kind of thin cardboard is going to work. Now, take some scissors and cut out each of these 1-inch by 1-inch squares, and then also give them a little bit of a rounded corner. So hold this completed one up here, you're going to see that there's a little bit of rounded corners to each of the four corners. They don't have to be nice and smooth, they just got to be rounded a little bit. Or at the very least, just cut off if you want to be lazy. You're also not going for necessarily uniformity, just close enough kind of a thing. Over here now, I have a nice huge pile of cardboard cutout template things, and of course, the reason we gave them rounded corners was to give them the approximate shape of a stone embedded in the ground, as if it's being used for a pathway. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to take these little templates we cut out and kind of line them up two by two is a way to think of it, along the full length of the pathway, everywhere where there's going to be paths. And then what you're going to do is, after you kind of line them up, take some kind of pins, either be push pins, or for example, I've got some just general steel banker's pins from like 1950 over here. And we're just going to stick two pins in each of the templates. Therefore, the templates won't be able to rotate around as you're painting up, painting in the term of using spray paint to dissolve stuff, the actual pathway here. And of course, these stone things don't have to follow the pathways exactly. It's all kind of an approximate thing, because you're going to put a lot of terrain and stuff over the rest of the mesa anyway. Also, if you don't happen to have enough of these little stone templates, which I think I'm probably going to be fine in that regard, there's nothing wrong with obviously, you know, spray painting one section of the path at a time, and then taking the templates up, move them around, and spray paint them as necessary.
Here comes the part where safety is important. We are going to use black spray paint to not only give the look of shadows and fire damage, but to also dissolve the extruded polystyrene around the templates. Take the temple mound outside and put on a paint/chemical mask. They only cost around $30, so if you can afford a Warhammer army, you can afford one of these masks. Apply black spray paint all around the templates. Any area hit by the paint will dissolve a little bit. The more paint that is used, the more extruded polystyrene will dissolve. After applying the paint, leave the area and let the mound stand for at least 20 minutes before you try to do any more work on it.
Once you've given your temple mount enough time to dry, we're going to take out these little stone templates and set them off to the side. Now, be sure to keep them, because we are going to use them later when it comes time to building the ruined temple mounts. So, or temple mounds, whatever you want to call them. So one by one, just kind of remove them. And hopefully, depending on how crazy you went with the spray paint, what you want to see are kind of stone shapes that are kind of protruding out of the ground a little bit with some burned, ruined stuff around it. And you're going to notice probably some of the corners of the stones are damaged or broken or missing. That's perfectly fine, because like I said, this is a temple that's been destroyed by something, probably the Skaven, because we don't like the Skaven. There we go. Let's just set these on the floor. We'll get back to them in just a few minutes here. And the next step, we get to use one of my most favorite materials of all time, or I guess we call it material, We're talking about white gesso. Of course, gesso is a special type of paint that's designed to work on porous surfaces like extruded polystyrene. We'll stick to this, where a lot of types of poster paint will not. And what we're going to do here is give each of the rune stones a nice undercoat of gesso, so we can go back later and add like a gray stone color on top of them. So I'm pretty much just going to use the mount itself as my palette. Just putting some white gesso down in one of the empty areas where the temple is going to go. I'm using that looks like about a half inch brush, and I'm just going to go over the undamaged areas of each of the stones that will make up your pathways. If you do get a little bit of paint, say like on the black areas in between the stones, that's all right. We're going to probably have to go back and touch those areas up anyway. But ideally, you want to leave those black to represent kind of ruined, damaged, burned down kind of stuff. Here, let me just hold this up here. Best I can. You can see I've got white gesso covered up over all the individual stones in the pathway. And so let's dry for a while. Gesso does take a while to dry. The next step in building the road is to give the individual stones a gray color. What we're going to do here is take a little bit of the white gesso that we have been using and just mix it with a bit of black poster paint. That way we kind of get the best of both worlds, the darker gray color and cheap with the poster paint, but still get some of the attributes of using the gesso paint on the foam. So there we go. I'm just mixing some of the black poster paint in with the white gesso. And we're going to just kind of mix them together to get, we'll start with a darker gray color initially. We'll probably put two coats on these rocks. So using your brush, you want to be as somewhat precise as possible. The idea is to actually give each of the rocks some of an oval shape. But of course, this is a burned down ruined temple from probably several thousand years ago. It's all right if things are a bit messy. And like before, if you do spill a little bit of paint outside the pebble or the stone areas, and does get in the black, don't worry too much about that. We're probably going to go over the black again anyway. So one at a time, just carefully paint the gray stones up. All right, looking pretty good. So I'm going to set that off the side, and we'll hold this up. You can see now that all the rock pieces have a bit of a gray color going to them. Well, we let that layer of gray paint dry. What we're going to take on next is to kind of finish up burned charred regions in between each of the stones. So let's just get our paint palette back out here, and just using the pure poster black, just go ahead and kind of paint in between all the regions. The idea being to cover up any of the remaining exposed pink extruded polystyrene that was originally kind of partially covered by the spray paint. Now the procedure or technique I'm using here is I'm not doing normal brush strokes. I'm basically dipping my brush in a fair amount of paint and kind of dabbing it on. Because the areas that aren't going to be covered by the spray paint, the little pockets of little visible pink extruded polystyrene, are not going to take thin amounts of paint very well. Because like I said, you know, this paint doesn't stick too well to it. So that's why I'm pretty much trying to saturate those little empty pockets with lots of paint. That way it'll cover it nice and even. And thoroughly for that matter. What you might notice, since the fact that the stone paint is not completely dry, you may be picking up some of, like, mixing some of the black with some of the dark gray. Don't worry too much about that. It's just coloring that's been on for thousands of years. It could be also the different weird colors. Now, let's finish up the roads. So what we're going to do is apply a second layer of gray to all the stone tiles. This is going to be a very light gray, well, lighter gray anyway. And it's very important at this point that you cover up any pink that's left exposed, whether because you missed a spot or because you thought it was a good idea to take a heat gun to dry the paint and then extrude polystyrene, because your show is on a tight schedule and you need to get things done. Don't do the second one, trust me on that. So let's take some white gesso again and mix in a little bit of black paint. Not a lot, just a little bit to give it a kind of like a lighter gray color than what you worked with before. Uh-oh, that's not good right there. Just clean up the spilled paint, that's all. And once again, just go over each of the blocks, or each of the stone things. You may not want to cover the entire stone piece, maybe just do kind of like a side of it or whatever, just to give some highlights. However you want to do it is up to you. But this is just a second coat to kind of give a little bit of a highlight effect to the stones. With that, let's call our stone road done. We got some nice, somewhat textured kind of stone pieces to the road. You can see a nice little burn and charred marks in between, little broken up stones. It looks really nice. I'm pretty happy with it. The next step we're going to do is finish the whole terrain aspect of the Temple Mount itself. Now at this point, we're getting pretty close to finishing up the actual Temple Mount that we're putting everything on top of. We're just going to apply some paint, some flocking, and pretty much call this done. So this next couple steps here are pretty similar to what we've done in the past. I'm just going to go through them relatively quick. I'm using what's left from my Games Workshop basing kit that I bought last year to use as a review for building a battlefield back in episodes 10 and 12 of season 3. So we're going to be using that paint, because like I said, one thing cool I did discover about this paint is it has some gesso-like qualities where it goes on to extruded polystyrene really nice without having to put some kind of undercoat underneath it, which is a very nice thing. And now the other thing to keep in mind, if you're going to be like me and pretty much use this mount always with the temples in place, you don't really need to put any paint or flocking really under the footprints of the temples. So just to kind of save materials and save money. So what you might want to do is, you know, put paint and flocking maybe within a half inch to an inch inside the boundaries of where the temples are going to be, just so in case the temples shift a little bit, it still looks all right, or if you put them in a slightly different spot. But you don't need to cover the whole area in. Also, since the spawning pools are being built separately from the actual mound itself, you do need to paint and flock over where they're going to be, because, you know, you can kind of move them around a little bit to change a little bit of the layout. So let's get open. There we go. Let's get open the brown Games Workshop paint. Shake it up pretty good beforehand. Just going to pour a little bit of paint on the board, just like that. And now let's paint over everything that's not road or and that's not part of the temple. I should note, if you get a little bit of like the brown paint or the flocking on part of the road, it's not that big a deal, because again, it's a destroyed temple, and it's quite likely that some of the grass would have overgrown the road by now. So the first layer of paint on the temple mound is pretty well dry. You can see it's got a pretty good even coating of brown. There's a few spots that are still a little wet, but that's not going to affect us for this step. Which I'm going to do some detailing and highlighting. You notice on the side here, there's a few spots where you can still see the pink showing through for one reason or another. Either I screwed up or the paint dried differently than I expected to, whatever it may be. So what we're going to do is use the ochre paint from that Games Workshop basing kit. And we're going to just kind of highlight some of the edges, give it a bit of a sandstone look, kind of match the walls that are going to go with the temple when we're finished. So I'm pretty much just going to open this up, pour a little bit of this, let's do this. Yeah, we'll just kind of pour a little bit of this out on my palette, and let's kind of highlight some of the edges of the Temple Mound with this ochre-colored paint. That's squeaky as heck. But our main goal is to cover up the areas that still have exposed pink along the edges here. We're now finally into the last step for building Temple Mound. That's give it all sorts of flocking and detail work. So I got a bunch of things in front of me here. Of course, white glue to glue everything down. We just have some actual dirt and rocks from outside that I got out of the ground. I have a little bit of GW flocking left, not much, but we gotta make that go pretty far. I have green lichen, you can buy this from craft stores like Michael's. I have some brown decorative moss, also I believe I bought this from a craft store like Michael's way back when I started doing my Elizabethan army. And finally, we have clump foliage, which is kind of large chunks of flocking material to represent bushes and shrubs, that kind of a thing. That's Woodland Scenics brand. You get that anywhere that sells Woodland Scenics products, i.e. a store that sells hobby trains. First and foremost, it's very important to decide what is going to go where. When I finish painting, I've got some of the yellow rocky sandstone material kind of coming up over the edge. That area is probably going to remain mostly uncovered. Then a little bit inside from that is where we're going to put the dirt, because kind of it's getting a little better as you get towards the inside of the temple. Now it's a little dead and rotten. And then finally, the very inside of the temple is where we're going to put the flocking. Of course, then the moss, the shrubs, and the lichens kind of go everywhere to be like little jungle vines that have kind of retaken everything back over. So first things first, we're going to take some white glue, and we're going to spread it in different areas around the outside of the Temple Mound kind of by the areas that are painted yellow. And like I said, this is going to become a lot of just like dirt. So I'm just going to take some of the actual dirt and literally just sprinkle it over this area. It's not going to be a big deal if you don't completely cover it, because it's just kind of, well, whatever. It's, do what you want. Now we're going to do the same for some of the other areas around the temple base. So I just burned through my entire cup of dirt, well, I guess it's about a half a cup. But regardless, I've got a whole bunch of dirt scattered about the temple mound here. As I rotate around, you can see that in this camera. What we want to do is get rid of all the excess dirt. So, of course, just tilt the whole thing sideways and let it all run off. And hopefully you thought ahead and put, like, a newspaper or something underneath it to catch all that dirt so you don't have to clean it up off the table by yourself. Just put it up there and lightly tap a few times, and that gets all the large chunks of dirt or the dirt that's just not glued down. And there we go. There's our final flocking covering with the dirt. I'm going to set this guy off to the side. I'm going to clean up what's in front of me here and move on to the next step. Now it's time to move in closer towards the center and put some of the flocking down. The same basic procedure. Take the white glue. Spread it around where there's no dirt, no rocks, no patio, stone, whatever you want to call it. And take the GW flocking. There it is. And spread it around. Well, it looks like I cut that one pretty close too. All the GW flocking is done. Same deal. Let me just hold it up. You can see where I filled in all the flocking. Same idea. Let's turn on the side here. Gently tap it and let all the excess stuff come off. Set it off the side. Clean this mess up and move on to the next detail. Next up is the moss and the lichen. We're going to use those to make it look like kind of vines that kind of overgrown some of the rock or some of the patios. So what you're going to do is just run a little bit of white glue kind of in a line along the road that you took so much time to build, like that, as I kind of snake it along the road, and just kind of cover it up with some of the green lichen and some of the dead moss to kind of get a little bit of a variation of colors going on. That's looking pretty good. We got one nice vine going up all along the entire road. Let's put a little bit of that kind of going across each of the two little patio areas, and we'll pretty much call this step of the build done. So let's talk first step of building the temple pyramids. These are going to be very basic pyramids, basically just kind of mounds almost, probably like sacrificial mounds that Lizardmen would use to sacrifice Skaven on them, because Skaven are worthless pieces of garbage. Now, obviously, if you're not familiar with Lizardmen architecture, it's kind of very similar to Aztec Mayan cultures, where you had step pyramids. That's what we're building here. I got three piles of extruded polystyrene, because each temple is going to have three pieces to it. The first pile are pieces of extruded polystyrene that measure 8 inches by 8 inches by 1 inch. Of course, these are the pieces we use to trace out where the temple we were going to go on the mounds earlier. Next, we've got a pile of 6 inches by 6 inches by 1 inch piece of extruded polystyrene. Same kind of thing as the first, just a little bit smaller. They're going to be the second level of the temple. And finally, the third and top level of the temple is going to be made from these pieces of 4 inch by 4 inch by 1 inch piece of extruded polystyrene. So we're going to take each of the two 8 inch pieces, lay them out, take one of each of the 6 inch pieces, kind of center them on top of the 8 inch pieces and kind of lay them out, and finally takes one of the 4 inch pieces and center those on top of the 6 inch piece. So in the end result, you've got two 3 level step pyramids. Very simple. Now, what we're going to do is make these look like they've been damaged and ruined. Very similar to how we did the road, and very similar to how I did the Lizardmen Temple way back 3.5 years ago on episode 2 of the Tabletop Battlefield. So what we're going to do is let's get out our road tokens we just set off to the side a little bit ago. And on each of the 3 layers, what you want to do is ring the outside of the top, so we're looking at the top of that piece of a sheet of polystyrene, we want to ring the outside with these road tokens. Now, however you lay these things out, just make sure that each of the four sides has an equal number of basically stone tokens along it to make it look like it was a fairly commonly built structure. So there you go, then hold this up. You can see now I've ringed the outside of the top with these stone templates. The next thing I want to do is ring the sides, the stone template, in such a way that each template on top has a matching stone template along the side, and of course the corner one's going to have two matching stone templates, one on either of their two sides. So there we go, looks like a nice big pin cushion, but we've now got the stone template markers wrapped around all four sides of this 8-inch by 8-inch piece of extruded polystyrene. Now, one thing I noticed purely by accident when I was working on the road is that in the areas where I drew lines of the Sharpie marker, the spray paint dissolved those a little bit better. So if you want a little bit more accentuated kind of areas in between the stone markers without wasting lots of spray paint, I'm going to go ahead right now and actually draw some lines of Sharpie markers in between each of the templates. Now the trick is where I put my Sharpie marker. There we go. Let's take this thing outside using obviously proper safety precautions, paint mask and all. Give a nice coat of spray paint along all the templates. So now that you're finished spray painting the heck out of your temple pieces, it's time to assemble them. As I mentioned before, there's three levels to each temple. Of course, you got the larger 8-inch by 8-inch base, followed by the 6-inch by 6-inch, and then the 4-inch by 4-inch goes on top. Now, the assembly process is pretty simple and straightforward. We just stack them, as I mentioned, in that order. And for this project, we're going to glue them using white glue. So just take some white glue, if there's any left in this bottle, and spread it around kind of the inside area of the 8-inch by 8-inch one. And by inside area, I mean the region that basically was not covered by any of the rock template. So with the glue spread around, let's take the 6-inch by 6-inch piece, and we're going to stick that straight on top of the 8-inch by 8-inch piece, kind of center it in such a way that the various rocks are lined up as best as well as you can, and you don't really want to overlap any of the 8-inch by 8-inch rock tokens with the 6-inch by 6-inch piece, if you can help. Now we're going to take the 4-inch by 4-inch piece here, and we'll stick that right in the middle of the 6-inch by 6-inch piece. Now, it will take a while for this temple mound to glue and be nice and sturdy together, but if we're careful, we can proceed on to the next step. Which the next step is taking the white gesso and painting each of the empty pink rocks like we did on the road. So just, there we go. Let's take, pop open the white gesso bottle, spray some in a, or pour some out in a little bit of a painting tray, palette kind of a thing, using a brush. Just cover each of the empty pink areas on the temple mound. As before, do your best to not cover up a lot of the black, but like I said, you're gonna repaint that stuff later if you do, so it's not that big a deal if you do screw up a little bit. Looking pretty good at the finished temple mount, or at least in terms of finished with the white gesso on it. Now the next step in painting up the temple pyramids is to give them a paint coat similar to what we did in the rows. So we're going to first go with a dark gray paint color over all the white gesso that we painted before, also cover up any extra pink you see laying around there. Then we're going to take some just pure black and go in between the pieces, kind of covering the empty spaces, the shadows, the ruined, damaged stuff, you know, that kind of thing. And finally, we'll give them a covering of light gray. So just like with the road, we're going to start with a mixture of some white gesso as well as just some black poster paints. And we're going to give each of the stones that are exposed, we're going to give them a dark gray coat, a dark gray color coat. Now, with the first layer of paints done on the temple pyramids, the next step is to bring out all the dark cracks in between the stones. So just like we did with the roads, we're going to take some of the black poster paint and literally just dab it in between each of the stones, kind of highlight the empty, burned out spaces in between. So I'm literally just pouring a whole bunch of black paint on my palette. I'm just going to dip my brush in it and literally just dab the paint in between all the stones. This way it'll definitely fill in any of the crevices that still have pink or white being exposed. And then, as before with the roads, it's alright if you get a little bit of the black paint on the stones because they are damaged and, you know, whatever, destroyed. So it's alright if a little bit of the black paint does get on the stones, and it's kind of an artistic effect, not a mistake. Now, it should be stated that this process of using so much paint will take a while to dry, so be sure to let it dry thoroughly before moving on to the next step. Moving on to the final step of painting the temple pyramids, we're going to basically give them highlights similar to what we did for the road. So we're going to use a mixture of just black poster paint as well as some white poster paint to get a light gray color, lighter than what you currently have on the temple, and just kind of cover up sections of the stones to kind of give them highlights. You may not need to cover up the entire stone, it's your choice kind of deal, but the idea is just give a second lighter coat on the temple stones. And also, the other thing to keep kind of keep an eye on, per se, is here, I didn't do quite a very good job of kind of covering up all the white gesso from earlier, so this might be your last chance to actually do that as well. So, there we go, let's hold this up. You can see now I've got the lighter color on the top of the temple pyramid there. We're going to do the same for the rest of the bricks, and then we'll move on to the second pyramid, and we'll be ready to do some detail work on these guys then once it dries. Let's move on to the final step of building the temples, and this is basically the plant foliage vine detail step. Much like I did with the roads before this, we're going to have vines crawling all over the temples. And of course, we're going to do that using the same materials. We've got the green lichen right over here. The brown moss is hiding down here for right now. And then later, we're going to play with some of this green clump foliage to get a little bushes growing around the edge of the temples. So, here's the process. We're just going to take some white glue. I'm literally just going to pour it right on the temple. We'll start at the top and just kind of run it down along the tops of the stones as well as the sides, and just kind of run it down towards the bottom of the temple. I'm going to hold it up like this. You can see you basically got a river of white glue running all the way to the bottom. And that's going to be where a vine's going to go. We'll make it then branch off a little bit, so we'll run another bead of white glue halfway down the river to the bottom. So if I hold this thing back over here, you can see now I branched off that bead of white glue to make a little forked vine's going to be growing up the temple. And then we're going to go back to the top here and extend the vine all the way over to the other side. So we'll run it down like that, and down like that, down like that, and then we'll run off one more branch going off over here. So wherever you basically pour the white glue, that's going to become a vine. Now, let's just take a mixture of the green lichen and the brown moss and just spread it across that river of white glue that you just poured down. That way it'll glue those down really nice and tight to the surface of the temple. And when it dries, it'll look like you've got a really cool vine growing up along the height and width of the temple. So let me hold this up here. You can see the finished vines run along both sides of the temple. Once the glue dries, it should look pretty good. Now, as a note, you may want to just every so often while it's drying, just kind of press down a little bit on the vines to make sure they do have a good, firm attachment to the glue and they're not just kind of just barely hanging on there. Now the last step is taking this green clump foliage, and what we're going to do is put it along the bases of the levels of the temple. And that just serves, one, just give a little more effect of the idea that this temple's been abandoned for a long time and it's overgrown, but also it can be a great way to hide any spots of paint that you've missed. So if there's any big areas or maybe a little dink or hole in the temple that you missed, this is a great way to cover it up. So this time, take a little bit of white glue and put it down in a palette, and use like my little ball sweat stick. I've been using it for a lot of different things today. And dab a little bit of white glue in various areas wherever you want to stick some of this clump foliage. We'll run some over here. So you can see, like, at the base of this level, I'm running a whole bunch of a line of white glue, so I'm going to put a whole bunch of the clump foliage down there. We'll put some up here, too. And I'm also going to, there's a hole kind of in the top up here, so I'll stick some right there to cover that up. Is there any other areas I really just did a terrible paint job with? That's kind of a crappy paint job right here, so I'm going to cover that up too. And that's basically what you're going to do with this stuff. Just find places where you can hide your mistakes from earlier in this process of building this thing. And just take little pieces of the foliage and stick it on the glue and just let it dry, and it should stay there. Oh, and by the way, this is Woodland Scenics Clump Foliage. Woodland Scenics Clump Foliage. Woodland Scenics, of course, makes a large range of modeling projects for model railroads. So with that, let me hold it up here. You can see the little clump foliage pieces sticking on the side of the temple. And with that, we can call this temple done. So just let it dry, and it'll be ready to be added to the full scene a little bit later. Well, there you go. That's about as far as we're going to get in this episode. Yeah, it's a start. So we'll go ahead and do this for one more episode, the next one. And then after that, we got a big, massive review blitz coming up. We got a couple of reviews right in a row, and we're going to finish up for our last fun episodes for the year. There we go. That's about it for this episode then. Once again, I'm Jason. Questions or comments, send them over to me at jason@rockosoftware.com, Twitter at @TT_Battlefield, and Rocker Robotics on Steam for Left 4 Dead 2, Dawn of War 2, I suppose I can install Team Fortress 2 like Andrew keeps yelling me to do. And there's one other game on there I play and whatever it was. So, with that, thanks for watching. We'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.